Now, I think between the Good News Singers and Cindy's message, I can go sit down. I think that was fantastic. Our scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And it's talking about the temptations of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. There was a man who got very angry because this little church had rented the empty store beneath his apartment. And they began to hold most noisy revival service you ever heard. All he could hear was, "Amening! Praise the Lord!" all night long. He complained to the landlord. He complained to the police. But nothing was or could be done. Well, he got madder and madder. And then one night he decided he was going to get even. He went down to a store that rented costumes, and he rented a devil suit. He went home and put it on. He climbed down the stairs very quietly and waited for just the right moment. And as it happened, a storm came up. A thunder rolled, lightning striking all over, and the lights went out. At that moment, he burst into that little church yelling and screaming. And the people, "Man, oh man," everyone bailed out of that church except one lady. And this man stepped up to her, tail twitching, pitchfork gleaming, and he said, "How come you're not running away like the rest?" And she said, "Mr. Satan, I want you to know I've always been on your side all along." Today's gospel reading, to a great extent, the readings from Deuteronomy and from the Paul's letter to the Romans, are about taking sides, about putting God first in our lives, about remembering whose we are and what he has done for us, about declaring our loyalties. I want to look primarily at the gospel reading today, at the temptation story, and try to understand a bit of what it is all about. At first glance, the temptations of Jesus seem strange. They seem so unlike our temptations to take things, to use people, to ignore God. They seem so odd. Make bread out of a stone? Leap from the temple? Worship Satan to gain the world? We can't really conceive of these kinds of temptations being related to the temptations that we experience today. Yet, the temptations of Jesus are ours. For Satan is with us, as he was with Jesus. He is with us not so much to get us to do wrong things. We need no help in that, but to develop in us life-destroying attitudes and beliefs. To develop in us those things that will take us further and further away from our faith, away from God's love, until we discover that we have no faith at all, that we are people with a hope without purpose, that we are, in short, completely lost, living only for today, living only for ourselves. As someone once said, Satan is interested in what we think, in what we believe about ourselves and God. Let's take a look at Satan in the reading. What is he saying in the temptation story that we heard today? If you are the Son of God, if you really think you are, then can you not prove your power through a self-serving miracle? If you're really loved by God, can you not prove God's care by leaping from the temple? If you really want to change the world, if that is your mission, can you not do it better in the way that I show you? If you are a child of God, then why can't you? Why don't you? It goes on and on. Think about the voice for a minute. The voice Jesus heard as he wandered through the wilderness that we so often walk through in our lives. The wilderness, not of sand, rock, or bush, but the wilderness of the soul. The wilderness of the world that does not care, of a world that does not provide anyone an easy time of things, but rather is coldly indifferent, if not openly hostile, to us and to what we want and what we feel. How often have we heard the kind of words in ourselves that Jesus heard at the end of his 40 days of wandering? That voice speaking inside our minds and hearts, whispering quietly, if you really are a child of God, would you act that way? If you really are a child of God, would you not be able to overcome your weaknesses, do the good you intended, straighten yourself out? If God really loved you, would God treat you this way? Would God let you suffer? Are you really, really a child of God? Is God really there for you? For anybody? Isn't there an easier way? A better way? Better than this? Better than now? The voice of Satan is the voice of doubt. Doubt in the goodness of God. And what is commonly called self-doubt, that doubt that questions who we are and what we are about, not for the purpose of improving ourselves or causing us to turn to God, but for the purpose of tearing down whatever good that may have been built up in us and causing us to wonder if there is any point in our continuing to live or in trying to be faithful. One of the biggest occasions of doubt that arises in the life of believers is related to the reality of temptation and to the fact that we all too often succumb to it. I think you all here know the feeling. You promise God that you will pray more often, and you find yourself so busy working, watching TV, running to meetings, that you end up praying less than you had before. You promise God that you will not be so impatient with the annoying people in your life, and you find yourself a few days later yelling at the one of them with more vigor than ever before. You try to do something or not do something, and you fail, and you feel guilty about it. You feel that you are a complete failure as a human being, let alone as a Christian. Have you ever said to yourself, If I was really who I believe myself to be, then I would not be tempted. Have you ever said to yourself, if God was real, if I was real, then I would not be doing what I am doing? Self-doubt, soul-destroying doubt. It is a common thing. Like the other doubt that Satan throws at us, the doubt that says to you when you are in trouble, if God really cared, then I would not be in this mess. God does care. God cares like a parent cares for his or her child as they are learning to walk. First, God holds our hands and calls to us to move toward him. And then, as we gain strength, God lets go, but is there to catch us, lest we fall, and to encourage us. To encourage us to walk and to learn how to do the many other things that make life so good. Temptation is a reality of the Christian life. It is there for two reasons. The first reason is this: Satan does not want us to succeed at being God's people. I mean, imagine a world where Christians actually lived like Christ and did what he did all the time. This is not a pleasant thought for those who love darkness. And it leads to a spiritual principle that really wants you to take note. The closer you get to God, the stronger the temptations you will feel. Or put it another way, the devil never attacks those who are already on his side. The second reason for temptation is this: God wants us to choose him freely. God does not want you or anyone else to be obedient robots. He wants us to be whole human beings who freely love him, and others to be people who in every way are made in his image. And that requires something for us to choose, something for us to do, something for us to believe. There was a man who was asleep one night in his cabin when suddenly his room was filled with light and the Savior appeared to him. The Lord told the man he had work for him to do and showed him a large rock in the front of his cabin. The Lord explained that the man was to push against the rock with all his might. This the man did day after day. For many years he toiled from sunup to sundown, his shoulders set squarely against the cold, massive surface of the unmoving rock, pushing with all his might. Each night the man returned to his cabin sore and worn out, feeling that his whole day had been spent in vain. Seeing that the man was showing signs of discouragement, Satan decided to enter the picture, placing thoughts into the man's mind, such as, "You have been pushing against that rock for a long time, and it hasn't budged. Why kill yourself over this? You are never going to move it." Satan said many other things like this, giving the man the impression that the task was impossible and that he was a failure. These thoughts discouraged and disheartened the man even more. "Why kill myself over this? I'll just put in my time, giving just a minimum of effort, and that will be good enough." And that he planned to do until one day he decided to make it a matter of prayer and take his troubled thoughts to the Lord. "Lord," he said, "I have labored long and hard in your service, putting all my strength to do that which you have asked. Yet after all this time, I have not even budged that rock half a millimeter. What is wrong? Why am I failing?" To this the Lord responded compassionately, "My friend, when long ago I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength, which you have done. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move it. Your task was to push. And now you come to me, your strength spent, thinking that you have failed. But is that really so? Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and you're muscled. Your back brown. Your hands are calloused from constant pressure. And your legs have become massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Yet you haven't moved the rock. But your calling was to be obedient, to push, and to exercise your faith and trust in my wisdom. This you have done," God said. "I, my friend, will now move that rock." Each of us is called to be obedient, to push and to exercise our faith, and to trust in God's wisdom. In the doing of this, it is not a sin to be tempted. Indeed, often it is part of God's plan for us, that same plan that led to the Spirit driving Jesus out into the wilderness where he was tempted. Nor is it a sign that we are lost, that we are beyond hope when we succumb to temptation and to those things we should not do and fail to do those things we should. For that to be so would mean that the cross of Christ was to no avail and that his sacrifice on our behalf means nothing. And that most certainly is not the case. God's word does not come back to him empty. His love is not without power and impact and effect. As a loving parent helps his or her child back to their feet when they stumble and fall, so God helps us back to our feet when we fall and call out for help. Over and over again until we finally are strong enough to go on to the next lesson. What God wants from us is not that we be perfect, but we strive to be that way, that we give it our best shot and keep on trying. What the devil wants is that we give up, for he has no victory when we do wrong things, for he knows that God will forgive us when we seek him. What the devil wants is that we give up entirely and that we abandon faith in God and the idea that what we are made in God's image for a purpose and a reason. Don't give up. Have faith. Remember, as I said at the beginning when I told the little story about the man who dressed up as Satan to scare all the good church folk who were making noise, it is all a question of whose side we are on. God is on our side. The devil is not. Do not give up faith in God because of temptations you feel, nor because of the ones who give in to, but instead, get up on your feet, turn afresh to God, and begin walking once again, remembering the word that God has given us, the word of faith that says simply and clearly, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Savior and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Remember this week whether at work, you have impatient guests in your store, remember that word of God. Go to God. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Let us be silent.